word this morning. Come on, we can do better than that.
Good morning, everyone. We've got a lot here today. Looks like a fairly full house. It's always encouraging. Now that we had a very good prophecy this morning about in the water. And now, where's your foundation? What is your life built upon? Where's your source and where's your strength? It's not in the world or in this earth. But if your feet are on the ground, that's where you're getting your foundation. That's your source. That's your strength. Even if the spirit is splashing around your ankles or up to your knees, you still got your feet on the ground, which means you're not walking in the spirit. We're called to be spiritual. We're called to walk in the spirit. If your feet are on the ground, you're walking in this world. You're walking in flesh. You're drawing strength from Him. His word is the water. The water has to lift you up. It's not until you go out deeper the water can lift you up. If you're in the shallow, it doesn't matter how wet you get, the earth still supports you. The earth, that's still your foundation. When you go out deep, His word gives you life. His word gives you strength. His word is your foundation. Whether you're in 3 metres of water, 300 metres or 3 kilometres, you're still supported by Him. You know, you see the Rottnest swim every year. They do the Rottnest swim. Now, they start off on the land and they finish on the land. When they're out there in the middle, they can't just say, well, I'll just have a bit of a rest now, put my feet down. You need to keep moving. When you're in God, don't just sit down and think, oh, that's enough. I've done my bit. I'll take it easy. You've got to keep moving. Movement gives you that support. God's word is there to support you, but it's the movement that makes it all happen. Otherwise, you'll go under. Hallelujah. So that just came to me during that prophecy this morning. God gave me a revelation. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, I'm speaking on freedom in Christ. We have freedom in Christ. And we've been hearing Pastor Dave speaking on the Beatitudes from Matthew 5. And, you know, that was Christ's first real sermon where He got up and preached. And, you know, the people knew that there was a Messiah coming. And they were thinking, you know, the Messiah is going to set them free. Yeah. And it's going to be a new kingdom. They're going to overthrow the Romans. Yeah. And it's going to be, the new kingdom is going to be established. And they're going to have freedom. And Christ gets up to preach in Matthew 5 and verse 17. And He says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but I came to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." So Christ came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. And He fulfilled the law by being perfect. He was without sin. Every law, He fulfilled it. And He goes on to preach. He says that you have heard it said of old, you shall not murder. But I say, do not get angry or have wrath upon a brother without just cause. Or do not call him a fool, otherwise you're in danger of hellfire.
That's right.
So here the people were thinking they were going to get set free from the law, but the actual law got even harder. The law was do not murder. He says don't get angry or call your brother a fool.
Yeah.
He also went on with quite a few examples, but in like another example, he said, the law is you shall not commit adultery, but I say not to even look at a woman and lust after her, otherwise you've committed adultery in your heart. So he was fulfilling the law, and he was explaining what, you know, God's ways. Like, he wants us to be higher.
Yes.
He went on to say after that, and this is all New Testament, this is Christ preaching, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out.
Yeah.
If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. I mean, that's, and in some places they do that. But thankfully they don't do it here. There'd be a lot of armless people around. Because, you know, in the law of the land of the day, like when Jesus came, they were under the laws of Moses and all the old laws. And I've just been doing a bit of research. There was over 600 laws that they had to fulfill. Well, 613 actually, but over 600 laws. And a lot of those laws had the death, well, not a lot of them, but some of them had the death penalty. Like if you sacrificed to another god, or if you worshipped another god, you were to be put to death. If you hit your mother or your father, you were to be put to death. If you blasphemed God's name, you were put to death. Like out there in the workplace, every day you hear people blaspheming Jesus. That was a death sentence. If you worked on the Sabbath, you were put to death. I mean, if you go out there, how many people are working? There's a lot, like a lot of people work today, and even you go home, you dig up the garden, or you paint, or you fix something up. Working on the Sabbath was a death sentence. If you're caught in adultery, it was a death sentence. Today we say, oh, well, they're both adults. It was consensual. What's the big deal? They were put to death. And all the offerings they had to make.
Yeah.
You know, there was the burnt offering, the grain offering, the guilt offering, the sin offering, the peace offering, the drink offering, the food offering, the free will offering, the wave offering, the ordination offering, and the dedication offering. I listed them all out. And all these offerings needed preparation, and things had to be done. And a lot of people were unclean.
Yeah.
And just during your normal, like if you ate the wrong food, you were unclean. If you wore the wrong clothing, you were unclean. If a woman had a period, she was unclean. You know, the story of with that woman with the issue of blood, she was just permanently unclean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus fulfilled the law.
Amen.
He was clean.
Amen.
Because under the law, if you were unclean and you touched someone else, they became unclean. She had to isolate herself. Whatever she touched was unclean. She went up and she touched Jesus.
Yeah.
He didn't become unclean.
That's right.
Because he fulfilled the law, she was cleansed.
Amen.
Her unclean, like under the Old Testament, if you were unclean, you had to take yourself away from Christ. Take yourself away because you would contaminate. But under Christ, you can reach out and touch him. And he washes away your sin.
Amen.
He washes away your sin. But you can't be walking on the ground. You've got to be swimming.
Amen.
Get into the water. Get into the water can wash you. He wants you to hand over everything to him. In the old covenant, they had sacrifices, they had laws, they had things to do. Under the new covenant, he wants everything. He just doesn't want your 10%, or he just doesn't want your hour a day, or he wants your life. Everything you've got, he wants it. You know, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, I've done this, I've done this. He's listed all the laws, that he's fulfilled the laws. And Christ said to him, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And what did he do? He walked away. He couldn't do it. It was too hard for him. His feet were on the ground. His foundation was the dollar and possessions. He'd built his own kingdom and he didn't want to let it go. It doesn't matter how big your kingdom is, it will fall.
Yeah.
There's only one kingdom which is everlasting.
Amen.
That's the kingdom of God.
Christ.
And you know, when with all these offerings they had to do, that word offering means to draw near or to give a gift. So in giving that offering, God was calling his people to draw near to him. Now we know it's the same God yesterday and today and forever, and he never changes. We're under a new covenant, but we can learn a lot about him from the old covenant. We can learn what makes him happy. We can learn how to live. He didn't put these laws down for no reason. The laws were there for the people, to benefit them. But, you know, in Galatians, it says that no one is justified by the law. So Christ came to fulfill the law. People weren't getting justification. Like, it wasn't setting people free. It was the law. It actually says the law was a curse and the law was bondage. The law was oppressing people. But Christ has come to set us free. Now, you might say, well, all this is irrelevant. This was all 2,000 years ago. We don't live like that anyway. But Christ has come to set you free. And unless you're in Christ, you are in bondage and you're under the law. And, you know, Paul was preaching to them. And in Galatians, I'll go to Galatians 5. So Galatians 5 and verse 4, it says, "You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law, and you have fallen from grace." So if you try to use the law as your justification, you are separating yourself from Christ. Because we're not under the law, we are under grace. If you say, well, you know, I need to do this, I need to go to church on Sunday, I need to do this, I need to go and help that person, and give yourself a whole lot of rules and regulations and try and live by them, you're separating yourself. You're not walking in that freedom. You're walking with your feet on the ground and you're just splashing in the Spirit around your ankles. You've got to dive in. Dive in so there's nothing under your feet except the water. Galatians 3:10, also talking about the law. Galatians 3, verse 10. "For as many as are under the law," "the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in this book of the law to do them.'" So we know that the law was a curse, and that Christ has come to set us free. And it was only because he fulfilled the law. He was without sin. There was no other way. And, you know, Christianity is not a lifestyle or a way of life or a religion. It's life. And it's the only way. You're either choosing life or you're choosing death. God doesn't have a multicultural kingdom where you can worship different gods and they all lead to him. Under his law, if you sacrificed or worshipped to another god, you were put to death. Two or three witnesses and you were gone. There was no jury. There was no 12 people. We worship the same God. There is only one way, and that's Jesus. In today's society, homosexuality is accepted as okay. It's a way of life. Under God's law, they were put to death. God hasn't changed. His rules haven't changed. He doesn't change because society changes. Look what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. It was ungodliness, and fire fell from heaven and they were all consumed. Galatians 6, we're called to bear one another up. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. If you want to fulfil the law of Christ, you cover, you protect, and you lift up. Because when your ears hear gossip, hear things that are going on, did you hear such and such? Did you see what John did yesterday? Can you believe that? It's tempting. But it's not godly. You cover. Someone comes to you, starts talking, I don't want to hear that. And they'll soon shut up. Because the thing with gossip, it's only if you're a sponge that it keeps coming. If you cut it off, people soon know. Won't talk to him because he doesn't want a bar of it. And it actually brings condemnation to them. If someone's gossiping and you don't receive it, they think, oh, maybe I shouldn't be talking like this. Yeah. Cover one another, lift up, and lest you fall yourself. Because, you know, self-righteousness, what's Isaiah say about self-righteousness? Filthy, stinking rags in God's sight. So if you bring your offering of self-righteousness before God, it's not a pleasant smell in his nostrils. Get that out of here, it stinks. He doesn't want to touch it. His righteousness is the only way. And the only way you get his righteousness is to trust and obey and walk in his word. He's given us guidelines, he's given us foundation, he's given us his spirit. You can't be walking around with your feet on the ground. You've got to be swimming in the water. Otherwise, you're not partaking of him. Still in Galatians 5 and verse 14, because we're talking about the law. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Christ wants us to love one another. Yeah. That's what the whole law is about, to love one another. Yeah. Not to be selfish, not to be greedy, not to be envious, but to be able to lay down your will for others. The story of the Good Samaritan. Found someone injured on the side of the road, where the priest and the scribes and all the other people took a wide berth, went around the other side. He's unclean, he's unholy, he's not a Jew, he's not one of us. He got what he deserved. But the Samaritan went up and helped him. That is a story of God's kingdom. And that's what he's looking for from his people. To love your neighbour, to love someone in need. If you hear someone's in trouble, what do? Nothing. Talk about them, or they deserve what they've got, or do you help them out? That is what Christianity is all about. And it's the whole law is right there. We don't need to worry about 600 laws. We don't need to worry about making 20 different sacrifices and preparing this and, are we clean? Are we unclean? Can I touch this? Can I eat that? We are free in Christ. He has set us free to worship. He has set us free to praise him. He set us free to be his slaves. You think, well, hang on, I'm not free if I'm a slave of Christ. There's freedom in him. And the only freedom in him is when you become his slave. When you lay down what you want and say, not my will, but your will, you get freedom. Yeah. Now, brain won't be able to figure that out, but your spirit will. Because when you look at it, you think, well, if I'm a slave, I'm not free. But the freedom is in him. He breaks those chains. He sets you free. And he only does that if you walk in him. And by walking in him, you are a slave to him. Once you're a servant of his, you're a slave of his. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, you know, the guys at the workshop, were at the factory, they're always wanting overtime. And they want their penalty rates, and they want double time, they want more and more hours, so they can get their wages. But with God, we've got eternal life with him. But also the wages of sin. If you're living in sin, are you on double time? Are you on penalty rates? Because there's going to be a payout. Are your feet on the ground? Or are you swimming? He's called you to walk in the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty in the Spirit. We're called to walk in the Spirit, to follow after him. Not our own desires, not to build our kingdom, but to build his kingdom. And there's freedom. There's freedom in that. Your head won't agree, but the Spirit of God will. If your feet are on the ground, you won't see it. If you're swimming, you'll understand. If you don't walk in Christ, you are not free from the law. Walking in Christ sets you free from that law. In John 8:34, there it is, John 8:34. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever." Don't be a slave to sin. You know, Paul preached a lot about being free in Christ. And he said, why would you go back into bondage? Because a lot of them wanted to stay under the law. Like, you know, he's talking about circumcision and the Sabbath and different things. He said, Christ has come to set you free, and you are denying the power of him and separating yourself from Christ to go under the law. Are you nuts? Like, he said, they're all idiots. What are you doing? He set you free, and you're putting the handcuffs back on. The only freedom is in Jesus. And being a slave to him. Being his slave sets you free. Hallelujah. So I'd like to challenge you. Are your feet still on the ground? Are you just got the Spirit splashing around on your legs? Or are you swimming? Is the Spirit giving you life, giving you hope, giving you strength? Is your source in him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And once you're swimming, keep on moving. Don't think I've had enough of this Christian life for a while. I'm just going to stop and have a rest. Give it all away. Because once your feet are off the ground, you don't want to go down to the bottom. Hallelujah. Well, be blessed, everyone. That's my word. Be encouraged. Thank you, David.